Good morning, church. How are you? It's Resurrection Sunday, so traditionally the Anglicans will say, "He is risen," and you must say, "He is risen indeed." Let's try that. He is risen. Turn to your neighbor and say that. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Praise God. Let's give a clap offering to God. It is wonderful to see you in church on Resurrection Sunday, and we also want to special welcome to those online. Although you cannot come to church, we are happy that we can be connected online. Now, many things are happening, and yesterday we want to report to you a very wonderful birthday party called the Hippity Hope Birthday Party. And we have about 94 children coming for this birthday party, out of which 39 from the community. I heard Pastor Debbie say that many people walk in to this party. In fact, some people have heard it from other churches say, "You have a special birthday party." And yesterday we have first time salvation. 14 children gave their life to Jesus and 3 rededications. And we do want to pray that this afternoon at 2 p.m. when we have another party in the Chinese church, that there will be many more children coming into faith. We thank God that He is doing something in our midst. Amen. And so let's pray together for this party. Father, we want to commit this afternoon Hippity Hop birthday party into your hands. We pray that, Lord, you will bring hope to the children, that, Lord, these children that comes to this party will receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. And we want to commit this morning's message into your hands. We trust that, Lord, today you have something special for us. Let, Lord, you will open our hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought this morning I'll start off with an interesting story, because we have many symbols in the Christian church, many traditions, and some people who are new to church may not understand. So I heard of this story about this Pope, right? Several centuries ago, decided to drive the Jews living in a place that owned by the Catholic Church to leave this place. So, of course, he made this decision. The Jews were very angry. There was an uproar. So, the Pope decided to have a debate with a member of the community. And the Pope said, if the Jew won the debate, then they can stay. So, in discussion, because their Latin is not very good, so they decided to have a silent debate. And the silent debate was that they are supposed to appoint a leader to come and debate with the Pope. So, the Pope started by doing this. And the leader of the Jewish community did this. So the Pope was very happy. He said, not bad. And then the Pope decided to do this. And the leader of the community did this. Wow, the Pope was actually quite happy. And then the Pope took out the communion set. And the leader of the community took out an apple and took a bite. To which the Pope was satisfied and said, "You have won the debate and you can stay." And all the priests and cardinals gathered around the Pope and say, "How did they win?" So the Pope said, "They are very spiritual. I told them that we believe in the Trinity." And then he replied, "The Trinity is also one God. I told them that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He told me that God is here also. And when I took out the communion to remind him of the grace of God, he took an apple and took a bite, remind me of the original sin. So they can stay." And then the Jewish community was wondering what happened too. They say, "How do you win?" He said, "The Pope thinks he knows everything. He actually told us we only have 3 days, we got to leave this place." And I said, "Not one day we were going to leave this place." He told me, "All of you must get out here." I said, "I'm going to stay right here." And then they say, "What happened?" He said, "He took out his lunch. Then I took out my lunch." Now, 2 days ago, in many churches, you see crosses. Some have the, you know, Jesus crucified. Some don't have. Now, we don't have cross, but on Friday, you should see a cross without Jesus Christ, right? Because we believe he has resurrected. But the most important thing about this is that to many people, especially unchurched, the cross is like an ornament. It has lost its meaning. It has also lost the kind of pain and shame that is connected with the cross. But on the cross, on Friday, Jesus said something very significant. He said, it is finished. Now, in the original word, this finished, it's not saying I'm finished. Huh? When my son came back and said, I am finished after the exam, I'm quite worried. But it is finished. You say, oh, daddy, it's finished. The exam is over. But yet, for this very word, tetelestai, it's different. It is like it is finished. God has accomplished. Jesus has accomplished what the Father has sent him to accomplish, which is to take away the sin of the world. And he will continue to complete that work. It is like in continuous tense. Therefore, today, as we remember Friday, that Jesus was crucified, we call it Good Friday. Amen? It was good for us, but not very good for Jesus, you must understand. Not very good for the disciples too, because when the disciples were there, they were watching the Messiah being crucified. They were watching the hope of the Jewish empire being renewed. Now, it was crushed. So, on Friday, they actually don't feel very victorious. And I think to myself, this morning, I wonder whether there are any Christians who feel like that. You don't feel like a Sunday Christian, you know what I mean? You feel like a Friday Christian. You feel like, you know, Jesus has been crucified and you could not see the resurrection power. And I call these people Christian zombies. Why are they Christian zombies? They live like the disciples on Friday. They live like the pain and shame that they're still feeling, the disheartened disciples during those times. And there are many Christians who know the promises of God but live without meaning. You know the abundance but live with a poverty mentality. You know about God's love but live in anger and hatred and bitterness because you cannot forgive. You know about God's hope for eternity but yet you live in depression. Now God is here to remind all of us on this Resurrection Sunday that He is more than able to give you the power to overcome sin and death. Amen. We live in the now and not yet kingdom. And therefore, we understood this, but yet we wrestle with our circumstances. We wrestle with weaknesses. We wrestle with pain, with shame. But today, we must remind ourselves that we must not live on that Friday and not remember that Jesus has risen. There was a story about this young manager in a restaurant that was always very positive. Wake up in the morning, you smile to people, everything is good and superb. Have you met Christians like this? And you look at them, you kind of think that they are a bit fake because like nothing bad happened to them. All right? But this guy, he was always cheerful. But one day, something bad happened to him. And he was robbed, burglared, and out of panic, someone pressed the alarm bell and the robber took a gun and shot him. And the bullet went into his head and he collapsed but did not die immediately. So the people around him called the ambulance and he was moved to the hospital. When he was in the ambulance and on the way to the hospital, he could see in and out of consciousness that the faces on the nurse that was attending to him looked worried, looked fearful, and looked as though he has died. Now he thought to himself, he could make this day, his death day, the day that he died, or he could fight on. So he wanted to fight on. So he was trying to speak. And then the nurse suddenly asked him, sir, do you have any drug allergy? So he said, yes. And she said, what is your drug allergy? He said, I'm allergic to bullets. And out of that little joke, he was able to make the nurse chuckle. And then suddenly he said this. He said, please, would you treat me as someone who is still alive rather than someone who is dead already? And sometimes, without us knowing unconsciously, we kind of feel that we are living like that. But we are reminded that when Jesus has been risen, He has also given us the power to live that victorious life. Billy Graham says this. He said that someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. Amen. I read this and I thought to myself, now, Billy Graham is not saying that he won't die, but Billy Graham is just reminding us we are walking in our eternity. Amen. And in Matthew 28, verse 6, it says, he is not here, for he has risen. So therefore, there is a change from Friday to Sunday. On Friday, the situation was very different. The disciples are discouraged, they were dispersed, they were disheartened. But on Sunday, they became cheerful, they became hopeful, they became powerful. When the Spirit of God came upon the disciples, they make a huge impact into the world because Jesus' resurrection brings change. His resurrection means something to humanity. In fact, Jesus' resurrection brings transformation. That's why when we turn to the narrative in the Gospel of Matthew, we start to read about these people that enter into the tomb and how they actually encounter God. And so we read together Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. Now in verse 2, shall we read together the red colored words together? And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. I don't know whether they are still slain in the power of God or after that they ran away, but we do know something miraculous happened on that very morning. You could imagine that the earth quaked and then this stone that weighed about 1 to 2 tons was rolled away by the angels. And then in verse 5 it says this, but the angels said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Verse 6 together, he is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. The angel of the Lord came bearing good news. And the good news for the disciples or for Mary to bring back is to tell the disciples, Jesus has risen and they are supposed to announce it. Today, we are witnesses of this resurrection because Jesus has risen. The way that the church can exhibit the presence of God when people come into the church and feel the presence of God is through you and me. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can see Christ in you. All right, say with more confidence. I know that some of you are sitting beside your wife or husband. Say that again, I can see Christ in you. So Jesus' resurrection brings transformation. How so? Number one, it gives hope to your tomorrow. It gives hope to us. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, it says that if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Meaning to say, if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ, then all the claims that Jesus made for us is not true. And there is no hope for us. And therefore, it's important for us to understand that this dead Jesus became alive and is still alive here. Now, many people, when I talk to them, they believe in the Christian faith, but they will argue with me like dead person, how to become alive. So we wrestle with the resurrection of a dead person, right? And in fact, the Jewish people also kind of wrestle with that, even though they believe in the resurrection of the dead. Now, there's different sects of the Jewish sect that actually don't believe in the resurrection. That's why there was always a debate. But do you know that the disciples did not really understand too? Because in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, it says this, then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. Now he saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth, the cloth that was wrapping Jesus' face, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in its place by itself, meaning to say it was in the same shape as Jesus' head was. So, like, you know, he just came out, right? And then the other disciples, which was John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in and he saw and believed. Verse 9, can you read together with me? Verse 9. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So meaning to say that even though Jesus has been telling the disciples, teaching the disciples, mentoring them, you know, bring them everywhere for these last 3.5 years, they have listened to the word of God, but they do not understand. They did not understand that this has to happen. So they did not understand. And verse 10 says, the disciples went back home. They went back, they left. Now there was another person who was there. In verse 11 it says, but Mary, can you shout out loud, but Mary. Any Mary here? Praise God for that Mary, because Mary did not understand also. Mary did not understand, that's why she was weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. Mary stayed. Because Mary stayed, Mary encountered God. Because Mary stayed, Mary was able to witness something firsthand. Praise God for Mary's heart and attitude and response. Amen. And we got to be like Mary. We got to be like Mary, because Mary was like the disciples. They did not understand, but the disciples looked and went back. All right? But Mary looked and wept and stayed and encountered God. And so today, if you come into the church and you did not understand what is happening in your home, in your circumstances, in your plight, let me remind you that even when you don't understand, trust God. Even when you don't understand, believe in God and hold on to the evidence that God has given to us. And for those who are seeking to understand Christian faith, today I give to you the evidence of the empty tomb. Because there is evidence of Jesus' resurrection that we must hold fast to. Because in those days, people challenge Christianity, challenge Christian. Are you sure a dead person can rise from the dead? And some of them say, maybe Jesus just fainted. I wanted to say, if I crucify you, see whether you will die or faint. Now, even if Jesus had fainted and recovered from his unconsciousness, it would be difficult to move the 1 to 2 tons of stone that was blocking the tomb, and then after that come out and be like Bruce Lee or Ye Wen to fight the trained soldiers, right? So it is impossible for an injured man to open the tomb and overpower the guards. What about the next challenge they gave? What if Mary went to the wrong tomb? Some of them believe that they went to the wrong tomb. But if that is so, then just bring the body out. That's all, right? The body is still in the right tomb anyway. But we do know that it was the tomb of Joseph the Arimathean, and that it was guarded, and the soldiers would not be guarding the wrong tomb, right? So if it's very obvious that this tomb was guarded, other tombs were not guarded. So there's only one tomb that the body of Jesus was laid. And so we refute this. What about the other challenge? Some people say, you know, the disciples stole the body of Jesus and start to tell a lie to the whole world that we still believe today. Now, where did that come from? Because in Matthew 28, it did record for us that when the chief priests gathered the elders, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. Now, if that is so, and the disciples have been telling a lie all this while, when people wanted to kill the disciples, would they have continued to believe in the lie? Now, they would not risk their life for a known lie, right? In fact, Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified with a shape on an X. James was beheaded. Philip was crucified upside down. Thomas was speared. Jude was X. James either clubbed, stoned, or crucified. Paul beheaded. And many more who died a terrible death because they hold fast to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, we are here to declare the truth of God. And if that is so, then they would not die for a lie. And finally, some people say, what if the disciples were hallucinating? They were kind of hypnotized. In the Bible, it says that Jesus actually appeared at one point of time to almost 500 people. And it's difficult to hypnotize 500 people all at once. So this is no go-to. Therefore, we must understand that outside the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for humanity. We must trust in the hope that God has given to us, and we must hold fast to that trust. And if you come to church and you think, well, that was more than 2,000 years ago, we do not know whether this is really true, I want you to know that in our church, there was someone who was raised from the dead before. And her name was Suzanne Chin. How many of you remember her testimony? Raise your hands. Now, if you have forgotten, I remember coming to one Christmas outreach, and she was standing on stage sharing her testimony. Later on, I read about her story in Straits Times in 2013, where she recalled 4 years before that, she was declared brain dead for 3 days. For 3 days, she was declared dead, and then when Christians gathered everywhere to pray for her, she revived, and she is still alive today. Praise God. And I thought, you know, miracle is quite rare, and people, dead people coming alive is quite rare, because we don't really do that in funeral, right? It would be quite scary to do that in funeral. But a few years ago, when I was climbing in a climbing gym, I got to know some friends. And to my surprise, when I was trying to reach out to this person, I actually brought durians to her place, and then we started chatting. And then she told me, actually, I believe in Jesus also. And in fact, she said that at 5 years old, I was declared dead. The doctor actually gave my mom a death certificate. And I thought, really? Then can you tell me the story? So she gave me her mom's testimony in Chinese. And I was reading through. I was so touched. She said at the age of 5, she had food poisoning. And her mom just brought her to the clinic. She was given some antibiotics, but she took the antibiotics and it did not recover. After 5 to 6 days, the mom thought that maybe some voodoo was on her. So they got some mediums, got some people to chant over her, to throw holy water on her. You know how they gargle and spit on her and that kind of thing, whatever they do. Anyway, it did not work and it got worse. And then later on, she was rushed to the hospital because she started vomiting blood. And when she was in the hospital, the doctors and nurses say it was too late because the virus has attacked the vital organs, the liver, and she was vomiting. And then finally, she was in coma, and then she was brain dead also. So she was given a death certificate. But during this course, they were helpless and hopeless. And the wife started to call the husband, which rushed back from Singapore, and the husband has a pastor friend. And they said, can you ask the pastor to come? So the pastor came, and they started praying. And when they were praying for her, there was an incident in the testimony that said that she started screaming. And so there was a response. And so they started rushing in, and the pastor went out, started praying together with the parents, and at that point of time, the parents gave their life to Jesus Christ. And in the testimony, she was saying, we are new Christian, we do not know how to pray, and the pastor told her, just pray. So as they prayed, the daughter revived. And you know what? This is what my friend told me. She said, when I woke up, the first thing I remember is, I want to go toilet, 5 years old. And that was recorded in the testimony I read. The mom said that my daughter opened the eyes and say, want to go shishi, because she was 5 years old. And today, she's still alive. I still see her in the climbing gym, and she's still climbing. Praise God for that, right? God's amazing power, God's amazing testimony living in and through us. And that's why we can see God's presence in the body of Christ. That's why when you come today and worship as a corporate body, we can sense the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' resurrection can bring hope to your tomorrow. Jesus' resurrection also brings healing to your past. If Jesus claims to his resurrection is true, that his claim to forgive us, to redeem us, to change us is also true. Amen. The Bible says that, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We all have problems. We all have sinned. We all have come short. But many people in their circumstances reduce themselves to believe in the lies of the devil. But I want you to know that you are not a mistake, because God has a purpose for you. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, it says that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to for your welfare and not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope." In many sense, when I talk to people, people always complain about how they look. My nose too big, my nose too small, my eyes too big, my eyes too small. So we go into all kinds of surgery to make us to become the person we want to look like. And in the end, it always look like the superstar that you see in Instagram or Facebook. But that's not the destiny, that's not the face that God has made you to be. And God has this wonderful purpose for all of us. And He wants to bring healing to our past that has been hurt. How many of you have iPads? Now, do you use it as a chopping board? Can you use it as a chopping board? You can, right? But you will be abusing it, because it is more than a chopping board. And God has created us wonderfully, beautifully. And you know, no matter how you feel that you look like, you are wonderful. And sometimes people don't know that, and they think that, you know, God gave me 2 holes in the nose, but I think not enough. In my ear, it's not just for listening, it's a cup holder too. So they abuse the purpose and the design that God has given. And we believe in a lie and think that we are something else and someone else, and think that we can organize and control our destiny because we think that we are better than God. And the devil is trying to lie to the world to tell you that God has reserved something He don't want to give you. You know, He wait until you are very good, then He will give you. That's not true. God has given us His best. In fact, He has given us His life so that we can live the abundant life. But in our weakness, in our sinful nature, the Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. Compared to God's glory, we are so far away. Whenever I tell people on the streets, when I share the gospel, you know what? They will tell me that, you know, Chris, I've never done anything really major, you know. I've not killed anybody. I've not sinned really big. But I want you to know that sin is not a measure of bigness or smallness. Sin is whether you have it or not. So even a little bit of sin can destroy us. And that's why Jesus has to do what He has to do. And the best way to illustrate this is to tell you about bird poo and also my favorite ice cream. If you have a vanilla ice cream that I give to you, and suddenly there was a bird that fly over you, and then poop on your vanilla ice cream. Happened before, huh? And then, being a kind friend, you say, "Oh yeah, your vanilla ice cream has poop. Let me help you." So I took a spoon and I dig and clean up everything, but there was still some poo there. And I said, "You know, there's only a little bit." So I just stir it. So now it's still quite vanilla, but with some lime color. And I give it back to you. Would you eat it? No way. You will never eat this, right? Because in your mind, you are thinking, a little bit of poop is not able to help me to clean up this ice cream. In fact, it has polluted the ice cream. I'm not going to eat it. And in the same way, I'm telling you that in heaven, a little bit of sin cannot enter heaven. A little bit of sin cannot come into the gates of heaven. And that's why it is important for us to understand that when we come before God, we must recognize that we are sinners. No matter how well, how good, how perfect you think you are, we fall short, right? And if you fall short, don't point fingers at others. We fall short. We need God. And our sin has separated us from God. And that's why Jesus has to come. And on Good Friday, Jesus came to do the very thing to allow us to enter heaven. Because when you enter heaven, you are covered by the blood of Christ. And you enter heaven, Jesus Christ said in Romans, or Paul said in Romans, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God for this gift. But you must understand that Jesus has to go through all those things, the pain, the shame in order for us to be redeemed. I don't know about you, but you think of Good Friday, many of us would have forgotten how painful it was. You know, before Jesus was actually hung on the cross, he was whipped. And he was whipped by this Roman whip called Roman Phrygian. And many people think that it was the cat of nine tails. Maybe it was, but it was a different version because the cat of nine tails sometimes are tied with knots. But the Roman whip has little metal ball bearings on the whip, and they have nine whips. And at the end of the whip, there is a hook. And Jesus was about to be crucified, and normally they would not whip anybody before crucifixion, but Pilate wanted to whip Jesus and punish him so much that he doesn't need to go to the cross. And when he was whipped, you can imagine the ball bearing hitting the back, creating bruise, and then the blood gathering there, and then the hook is there to peel the flesh, and the blood will gush out. Every time they whip, it's like us peeling the skin of an orange. And that was how painful it was. And it was crowned with the plant that was known as Euphoria Mealy. It was a plant that was with a lot of thorns. When I was in Israel, I just brushed a little bit and my hand started to bleed. And that was placed on Jesus' head. And you can imagine the pain that was coming through. And what more, he has to carry a log and that weighed about 50 kg about so, that beam, and walked for about 600 meters. And when he was resting, someone else carried, and he was nailed with a nail that was probably more than 5 cm. And at that point of time, you can imagine that Jesus, with all his breath, could not say anything, but yet we read in scriptures that Jesus said 7 sentences, and the first thing that he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Many years ago, when we had this Good Friday outreach event, the Chinese church, we were presenting our songs and we were doing a rehearsal. And we were showing the passion of Christ, how Jesus was whipped and he was screaming and crying. My youngest daughter was about 3 to 4 years old. And she was at the rehearsal. And the first time, to her horror, she saw Jesus being whipped and she saw Jesus in pain, and she cried and ran near the third row of the seats and tried to hide. So I saw her, I ran to her and I hugged her, and she said, "Daddy, I don't want to be a Christian anymore." And I thought maybe I should educate her. So I said, "Do you know why Jesus has to die? Do you know that this is part of, you know, God's plan?" And she said, I know. And she was crying and she said this, "Jesus, if Jesus had to die like this to save me, I don't want." And so then it dawned on me that my daughter was feeling painful for Jesus. At that moment, I cried. And I thought to myself, man, I've never thought of it that way. But my daughter taught me something that day. My daughter helped me to understand what Jesus has to go through. And so I explained to her, I say, "You know what? Thank you for sharing this with me. But Jesus still had to go through this because he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. That's why when he was crucified, he also knew he's going to be resurrected. And because of that, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15 that we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet, he did not sin." So Jesus came to take away our shame. Jesus came to take away our pain. Jesus came so that we can never be the same again. Amen. And Jesus' resurrection brings hope to us. Jesus' resurrection brings healing to us. And finally, Jesus' resurrection pours grace over you again and again today. You know, God's mercies is new every single day. And many things in our house will expire. Your guantao, your food, your app will expire. But you know, when you wake up this morning and you ask, where is God's grace? It's right there. Amen. God has grace for us. God is able to do more than what we can ask or imagine. And His resurrection is going to continue to pour grace for you. And some of you may wonder, Lord, is there enough grace for me? And I've done so many wrong things. But God is saying to you, He has enough grace. Trust in the God who knows your tomorrow. Don't just trust in yourself. Don't just believe in yourself. Don't just think that you have a better plan from God. God, because God knows everything. And John 20, you remember the story when Mary was there? And then in verse 14 it says, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And then in verse 16, to me, when I read this again, I feel touched because Jesus said to her, one more time, Jesus said to her, maybe in a nicer tone than you are saying it now, right now. I would think like, wow, she is crying. Her Savior is dead. And then she don't even recognize. Suddenly she recognized the voice of God, the voice of Jesus. Mary. And straight away she turned around and say, Rabbi, Rabboni in Aramaic. Wow. Isn't it amazing when Mary did not understand anything at the tomb, she stayed. She saw the angels. She saw Jesus. And then Jesus spoke to her. Some of us are like this. You are staying, you are trusting God. Your circumstances have not changed. But let me remind you that Jesus is there. He's here. He's with us. But what about the disciples? They don't understand. They left. But the good news is the grace of God is there also. Because in verse 19, it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So they locked up the doors. They did not want to have the Pharisees coming to them and persecute them, so they locked everything. And then Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Wow! Mary stayed. Well, you know, A-plus student, praise God. But disciples, they don't understand, they left. And yet in their living, Jesus went to them. Yet in their living, Jesus appeared and stood among them and said, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus. Jesus did not give up on his disciples, and he's not going to give up on you. Amen. He's not going to give up on me. He's going to pursue us. His love is for you. And so if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. For those of us who really believe in Jesus Christ, remember, do not live like a zombie Christian. Don't live on the Friday. Live on the Sunday. Recome that resurrection. Remember that Jesus has resurrected and the resurrection power resides in you. Amen. And I want to close with a story many years ago when a young man was brought to me. And he was distraught, discouraged because he committed a crime. And he was caught by the police and he was sent to remand prison. And in the course of the trial, I was able to talk to her and led him to Christ. And it was a very special moment because when he was in remand prison, while the trial was about to start, I wanted to visit him, so I prayed for him. And that morning, I remember just kneeling down before God and say, God, do you have a word for this young man? And I felt like the Holy Spirit just touched me and said, tell him that he will not go back to prison. He will be on probation. So I was very excited. I wrote this down in my phone. And I went to the remand prison and I wanted to deliver this news, this piece of good news to him. But before I could say anything, this guy turned around and said, you know what? They say that I'm going back lah, because any arson case will have to, you know, put in prison. And then he said, everybody say, confirm plus chop, I will go in. And I thought to myself, confirm plus chop. And the lawyers also kind of said the same thing. So after he said all this, the good news that I wanted to declare to him, I solo back. I didn't have the faith to tell him what I received from God. And I thought to myself, maybe I heard wrongly. Maybe I just really want him to be on probation. So I kept this. And on the day of trial, I went there. And his family was there. Some of us were there. And something very miraculous happened. Because the judge was about to give the verdict. And then he said, "Do you all know what was being destroyed in the arson case?" And they said, "No." So the court was adjourned for 15 minutes to find out what was being damaged. And after 15 minutes, this is what was reported. This was what was reported. He said that he lighted the fire, the wind blew, and then the fire only charred some part of the wall. Nothing much was damaged. And then the judge said this, "I'm going to make an exception to your case. First of all, nothing much was damaged. Secondly, I can see your support system, your family, some of your church members are here." And then he said, "I'm going to give you probation 18 months. At that point in time, I was like, "Wow, praise God!" You know, I was like, "Wow, see? And but it was too late because I chickened out that day. But I did kind of got up and told him and said, "You know, actually God told me already. But I didn't have the guts to tell you. But thank God, I recorded it on my phone, and there was a date of the entry. And I just really thank God, because if God is not alive, and it was just a figure in history that we reveal, and this is just a religion, then everything that we talked about is just for knowledge. It's just to make you feel good. But can I say this? That Jesus is here right now with us. And he says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And today he's going to give freedom to some of us. And we need to know that God do not want us to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, the slavery to sin, the slavery to bondages. And we will struggle. And that's why when we come and confess our sins before God, he is faithful and just and will forgive us from all our unrighteousness. And today, I want to ask you this question. Do you think you will go to heaven when you die? If your answer is a resounding yes, praise God. But if you are not sure, today, I want to invite you to open your heart to the King of Kings today. I want you to open your heart once again to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life to be the throne of your life, to sit on the throne of your life. And if there's anybody out here, you have come here maybe for the first time or online, maybe you have never really seriously asked Jesus to come into your life to make him your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give this opportunity to you on this Resurrection Sunday. And to do that, can I invite all of us to close your eyes and bow your heads without looking at anybody and knowing that Jesus is here. And Jesus is asking you, knocking at the door of your heart, "Can I come in?" And if your answer is yes, I'm willing to invite you for the very first time, can I invite you to raise your hands at the count of three? 1, 2, 3. Anybody? Yes. Raise your hand. Raise up high. Praise God. Anymore. If you're feeling your heart is beating really fast, maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe there are some who has backslided and today you have come back and you said, "I want to come back to God. I want Him to rule my life." Can I invite you to also raise your hand? Yeah. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for you publicly. And therefore, today, when you declare and commit publicly. Can I ask boldly, and those who have raised hands just now, can you stand up right now? Because I want to pray for you. Come on, stand up. Yep, stand up. Brother, stand up. Yep, stand up. Come on, stand up. Yes, those who have raised your hand, praise God. Those who have raised your hand just now, come back to God, praise God. There's no shame. There's only celebration today. Whether you're coming back to God or you're receiving Jesus for the very first time anymore, stand up if you're coming back to God today. Stand up. Yes. Come on. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. Can we pray for those who are standing? Can we pray together with them and ask those who are standing? Ask you to pray out loud together with me. Dear Jesus, Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I open my heart right now to invite you, Jesus, to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Cleanse me by your blood. And today, I am your child. I will follow you all the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Come on, let's give a clap offering to God. Shall we all stand right now? Let's all stand and let's worship God. Praise God.
I can feel.
Our tomorrow, we have hope, we have healing, we have grace every single day, Lord. We thank you, for Lord, you have helped us to overcome sin and death. Lord, you have enabled us to live the victorious life, for Lord, you are risen, Lord. You are alive, God. And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I declare that everyone who is here today is set free in Jesus' name. Lord, we are not bound. Lord, we are not burdened, Lord, by the yoke of slavery. Lord, we are not slaves to righteousness and not to sin. Lord, we are able to follow after you and to obey your will, Lord. So help us to live our lives for your glory. And help us to be good witnesses for you today and until the day we meet you. All the rest of our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so now, Lord, send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit so that we will live and work to your praise and glory. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen, amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus loves you very much. If you need prayer, can I invite you to come? Those who have given their life to Jesus for the very first time, can I invite you to come forward? We have some follow-up materials for you.